We get all sorts of interesting documents sent our way for the deep dive, but these budget materials you shared from the City of Big Lake, specifically this 00 General Fund Analysis V2.pdf, they're really quite something.
Yeah, they offer a pretty detailed look.
So we're going to take a close look at Big Lake's finances today, really focus on their main operating account, the general fund, and how it supports all the essential services you see around town.
Right.
Our goal really is pretty simple. Understand where Big Lake's money comes from, where it actually goes, and maybe uncover a few surprising things about their financial planning along the way.
Absolutely. And the general fund, it's really the workhorse of the city government, like you said. It's the primary fund. Powers all those day-to-day services.
Okay.
Think about the departments it covers. You
Yeah.
got the mayor and city council, planning, elections, the core administration, and finance folks too.
Right. The basics.
Exactly. Plus the Big Lake Community Service Center, economic development, building inspections. It's pretty broad.
So it's a pretty comprehensive fund then. What other essential services are sort of tucked under that general fund umbrella?
Well, quite a range. It also includes engineering, the streets department keeping the roads maintained, parks, and even fleet maintenance for the city vehicles.
Okay.
And critically, it's the bedrock for public safety. That's your police and fire departments.
Ah, right. Big ones.
Huge. Plus recreation and community programs and even the IT infrastructure, computers, software, maintenance, keeps everything ticking over.
That paints a really clear picture of how vital it is. So, where does all this money, where does it actually come from? Property taxes, I guess, have got to be a major contributor.
You hit the nail on the head there. Property tax is by far the largest single source. Makes up around 66% of the general fund revenue.
66%, wow.
Yeah. And what's really interesting, I think, is that more than half of all the property tax the city collects goes specifically to support public safety.
Really? Over half just for police and fire?
That's what the analysis shows. It certainly points to a clear community priority in their financial planning.
Wow. Okay, so that's a big slice of the pie going straight there.
Yeah.
What makes up the remaining third then? The other, what, 34%?
So that other roughly 34% comes from a mix of things. You've got charges for services, user fees for certain city facilities or programs. Then there are franchise fees. Those are paid by utility companies like gas and electric for using public land, public right of way,
Okay.
and revenue from various licenses and permits, think building permits, liquor licenses, things like that.
Interesting mix. Are there any other notable streams of revenue feeding into the general fund?
Yep, a few more. There are intergovernmental revenues that's basically aid and grants from the state and federal government.
Okay.
The city also gets transfers in from other specific city funds. A particularly interesting one is the profit from the city's liquor store.
Ah, yeah, you mentioned that. That gets plowed back in.
Exactly. Reinvested back into the community via the general fund. And finally, there's a category called other revenues that can include earnings from the city's investments and these things called fair market value adjustments on those investments at year end, basically how their value changed.
That liquor store transfer is a really direct way to see local benefits. Now, how does Big Lake actually plan for all this money coming in when they build their budget? Are they optimistic or more cautious?
The document suggests they take a pretty conservative approach when budgeting revenues.
Okay.
They generally base their estimates on what happened in previous years, financial data from the past.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's generally seen as a prudent strategy for governments. Helps avoid potential budget shortfalls if revenue doesn't quite meet, perhaps overly optimistic projections.
Okay, so money comes in, they budget conservatively, and then it goes out to pay for all those services we listed. What are the biggest spending categories within the general fund?
Well, the single largest area of spending, no surprise really, is salaries and benefits for the city employees.
Right, personnel costs.
Exactly. That accounts for about 65% of all general fund expenditures. These are the people actually delivering all the services we've been talking about.
Makes perfect sense. People cost money, especially in service organizations. What other areas get funding?
Beyond personnel, they budget for professional services. This covers things like contracts with outside experts, engineers, lawyers, auditors.
Got it. Consultants and such.
Right. Then you have operational costs. That's the day-to-day stuff for running departments, supplies, utilities, fuel for the vehicles, routine maintenance, you name it.
Okay.
They also budget for capital improvements. These are the bigger, longer-term investments.
Yeah.
Infrastructure, major equipment. And lastly, there are those transfers out to other dedicated city funds. That's a really key part of their financial strategy, actually. Something we should definitely dig into more.
Yeah, let's circle back to that. But first, property taxes again, since they're so dominant. The documents said the city levies property taxes for a few different funds, not just the general fund. Could you break that down?
Sure. So Big Lake levies property taxes for the general fund itself, naturally. And within that, they earmark specific amounts for capital transfers,
right,
and also for abatement, which can relate to tax relief or a certain adjustment.
Okay.
They also levy property taxes specifically for the debt service fund. That's purely for paying off the city's existing debt.
Right.
And finally, for the Big Lake Economic Development Authority Fund, or ADA fund, that supports economic growth initiatives.
And they seem pretty confident they'll collect most of what they levy. I think I saw a collection rate mentioned.
Yeah, they budget with a high degree of confidence there. They anticipate collecting around 97 to 98% of the levied taxes.
That's pretty high.
It is. And the historical data seems to back that up. Suggests they manage tax collection pretty effectively.
Now, something that really jumped out at me was that comparison table. Big Lake's property tax burden versus other similar cities. What did that show?
Yeah, that's quite insightful. They used a hypothetical $400,000 home value and applied the proposed 2025 tax rates. For Big Lake, the total property tax bill on that home would be roughly $4,886.
And compared to others?
Well, the average total property tax for a similar home across a group of comparable cities came out higher, around $4,940. So Big Lake's total tax is actually slightly lower than the average of its peers in that comparison.
That's interesting. Good info for residents. And the piece of that total bill that the city of Big Lake itself gets is even smaller, isn't it?
Precisely. That's the key distinction. Out of that $4,886 total tax bill, only about $1,586 total tax bill, only about $1,508 actually goes to the city of Big Lake.
Okay, so just under a third.
Right. Their specific city tax rate is 38.718 mils. Now, a mil is basically a tenth of a cent per dollar of assessed value, or one per $1,000 of taxable value. So 38.718 mils.
Means about 38.72 cents per $1,000 of value going to the city?
You got it. And compare that to the average city tax rate for those comparable cities. That was 46.79 mils.
So Big Lake city rate is lower too.
Correct. And it's really important to remember, as the city points out, the city council only controls that city portion of your tax bill. The rest goes to the county, the school district, other separate taxing bodies.
Right. Okay. That context is crucial. Now let's dive into those transfers out of the general fund. You said they're key. The documents highlight these have been happening every year since 2015. What's the main idea behind these yearly outflows?
These transfers are, well, they seem to be a cornerstone of Big Lake's longer-term financial planning. The city's been strategically using these funds primarily to build up capital improvement funds.
Like dedicated savings accounts for big projects.
Exactly. Savings accounts for future infrastructure work, major equipment purchases, that sort of thing. They also use these transfers to help cover their annual debt payments, their debt service.
Okay.
And to support community things, like the Music in the Park program, which is apparently quite popular.
Nice.
And also importantly, to directly pay for specific capital projects approved in their capital improvement plan, or CIP, or other initiatives the council approves.
So what's driving this? Why can they make these transfers year after year? It sounds like they've been running with some pretty healthy financial margins.
Yeah, several factors seem to contribute. One is positive performance from the city's investments. Sometimes the market value just goes up by year end.
Okay, investment income.
Right. Another is getting higher than budgeted revenue from permits. That can fluctuate with construction activity, of course.
Sure.
They've also benefited from increases in state aid in certain years. But maybe the most consistent factor mentioned is just, well, strong fiscal management by the city staff.
Meaning
they consistently managed to keep actual spending slightly below what was budgeted. The documents say they typically end the year having spent around 98% of the overall budget.
Wow, consistently coming in under budget like that, even by a couple of percent, must free up significant cash for these transfers.
It really does seem to. Those savings, combined with the times revenue comes in higher than expected, provide the fuel for these pretty substantial year-end transfers into those capital improvement funds.
Yeah.
And the real payoff of this strategy, the documents emphasize, is that it lets the city tackle significant future projects, often costly things like road work or major equipment, without having to raise the tax levy specifically for them.
So they're essentially saving up and paying cash for big ticket items, avoiding more debt or immediate tax hikes.
That's the idea. It's a way of planning and saving for the future using operational surpluses.
That sounds like a very proactive and responsible approach, frankly. Can you give us some specific examples? What kinds of projects have actually been funded this way? Seeing the tangible results would really help.
Absolutely. And the list is quite broad, which shows how this strategy impacts different parts of city life. Lots of mill and overlay street projects, basically resurfacing roads to keep them in good shape.
Essential maintenance.
Totally. Then there's the CR5 trail and signal project mentioned, improving walking, biking, and traffic flow. They've also supported various safe route to school projects.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Other projects include general pedestrian connectivity and safety improvements, repairs to the public boat landing, significant trail work like the CR73 Highline Trail, and improvements along CR43.
So a lot focused on transportation and recreation infrastructure.
A good chunk, yes, but not exclusively. These transfers have also funded the ongoing street projects planned for 2023, 2024, and looking ahead to 2025.
Okay.
Plus, strategic land purchases, the Smith property and the old school building are mentioned. Acquisitions for future city use, presumably.
All right. Planning ahead.
Definitely. The transfers have even been used to make debt payments on bonds from 2021 and 2022, covering those obligations for 2025 and 2026.
So paying down debt early, or at least funding future payments.
It appears so. They've also covered essential repairs at City Hall siding, HVAC system upgrades, and funded various planning studies, code revisions, staffing analysis, feasibility studies for potential future projects.
It sounds like they're really using these funds strategically across the board, infrastructure, planning, assets. What about essential equipment for departments? You mentioned fleet earlier.
Yes, equipment replacement is a key use.
Yeah.
The document specifically mentioned funding for fire and street department equipment way back in 2015 as an early example.
Okay.
More recently, these transfers have helped pay for computer replacements, server upgrades to keep IT current, new financial software implementation for efficiency, and the ongoing replacement of vehicles in the city's fleet across different departments. It really paints a picture of using these year-end surpluses to maintain and upgrade assets without constantly needing new tax revenue streams.
Let's dig into those recent years a bit more. The documents gave that year-by-year breakdown from 2015 through 2024. What jumps out from that data? Any big trends or surprises?
Yeah, looking back at 2015, the standout is that big revenue surplus over $849,000 more than budgeted.
Wow, why so high?
Primarily higher than expected tax collections, more local government aid, LGA from the state than planned, and strong franchise fees. Plus, they kept spending under budget.
Okay.
And that strong performance is what enabled those large year-end transfers we talked about, including significant chunks for the CR5 trail and the CR43 project.
Right. What about 2016? Similar story.
Pretty similar trend in 2016. Revenues again came in over budget, this time by more than $563,000. Again, strong taxes, permits, and state aid were drivers.
And spending under budget again.
Yep, expenditures under budget too. That combination allowed for transfers, including $300,000 specifically tagged for street maintenance that year.
Okay, and 2017, did the pattern hold?
2017 continued the pattern. Positive financial results. Revenues beat the budget by over $541,000, taxes and permits driving that, and they underspent again.
Any notable transfers that year?
A specific one mentioned was $330,000 transferred to pave the city's compost facility location.
Interesting. Moving into 2018, what did the numbers show?
2018 saw a slightly smaller but still positive revenue surplus around $221,000, still helped by tax collections and permits. Spending kept below budget.
And the transfer focus.
Transfers included $420,000 earmarked for that CR73 Highline Trail project.
Got it. What about 2019? That looked like a particularly strong year for revenue in the summary.
It really was. 2019 stands out with a nearly $558,000 revenue surplus. Big drivers there were strong permit revenues and, interestingly, strong earnings from the city's investments.
Ah, the market was good, perhaps.
Seems likely. They also spent less than budgeted and managed to transfer $330,000 for that year's street projects.
And then we hit 2020, start of the pandemic, very uncertain times globally. How did that affect Big Lake's finances, according to this?
Yeah, 2020 is an interesting snapshot. The revenue surplus was much smaller, only about $81,000 over budget.
Huh.
But they achieved really significant expenditure savings.
A touch.
Over $343,000 under budget on spending.
Wow. So they really tightened the belt, it seems.
Looks like it.
Mm-hmm.
And that allowed for a pretty substantial transfer of over $479,000 for street projects and some debt payments. Shows some adaptability in managing finances during, you know, very weird times.
Definitely. What about 2021? Did those spending savings continue?
Yes, in 2021, revenues were over budget again, not dramatically, but they again had substantial expenditure savings, over $454,000 under budget.
Any reason cited?
The documents specifically note some savings related to police department staffing levels that year.
Okay.
And that allowed another large transfer, nearly $630,000, primarily for ongoing street projects.
2022 looks different in the table, though. Revenues actually came in under budget. What happened there?
Yeah, 2022 was a bit of an outlier on the revenue side. Came in short by over $341,000 compared to the budget.
Why was that?
The main reason cited was lower than anticipated income from the city's investments. Market dip, perhaps.
Okay, but spending?
They still managed to keep expenditures under budget by about $192,000. So even with the revenue shortfall, they could still transfer $330,000 for street projects.
Back to a big surplus in 2023, though.
Yes, 2023 saw a strong rebound. Revenues exceeded the budget by over $714,000. A real bounce back.
Driven by?
Strong performance across several areas. Taxes, permits, state aid, and investment income came back strong.
Okay.
They also continued the trend of underspending their budget and transferred over $629,000 for street projects again.
And finally, 2024, it's marked as unaudited, so preliminary figures.
Exactly, unaudited. But the early snapshot for 2024 suggests another large revenue surplus, over $759,000.
Main drivers this time.
Intergovernmental revenue. So state, federal aid, and investment income are flagged as significant contributors. They again spent under budget.
And a big transfer.
Yes, a significant transfer of over $527,000, primarily for equipment. And there's a specific note about it helping to fund a new ladder truck for the fire department in 2025.
Wow. So across all those years, despite some fluctuations like in 2022, the overwhelming pattern is revenues meeting or exceeding budget, spending coming in under budget, and using the difference for these strategic transfers.
That's definitely the narrative these figures paint. A consistent ability to generate operational surpluses and reinvest them, primarily in capital needs.
It really highlights proactive financial management. Now, the documents also mention the city's balanced budget policy and the importance of the fund balance. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. So a balanced budget, at its core, just means the city plans for its revenues and other funding sources to equal its planned expenditures and other fund uses.
Don't spend more than you bring in, basically.
Essentially, yes, for the operating budget.
Yeah.
And the city of Big Lake has a formal policy to adopt a balanced budget for the general fund every year.
Okay. And the fund balance. Why is keeping a healthy fund balance so important?
The fund balance is basically the city's savings account or reserve fund for the general fund.
Hmm.
It's the accumulated surplus from previous years that hasn't been specifically set aside for something else.
Right.
Big Lake's policy is to maintain an unassigned, unreserved general fund balance between 42% and 50% of the next year's proposed budget.
42 to 50%. That sounds like a pretty healthy cushion.
It is. It serves as a critical financial safety net. It can absorb unexpected costs. Think major storm damage cleanup, and economic downturn hitting revenues, or cover temporary cash flow gaps.
The documents mention the timing of property tax payments relates to that cash flow aspect. How so?
Yeah, because the bulk of their property tax revenue arrives in two main chunks, typically July and December.
Oh, okay.
So having that healthy fund balance acts like a buffer. It ensures the city has enough cash on hand to pay its bills and provide services throughout the year, especially in the months before those big tax payments land.
Makes sense. So these dedicated capital improvement funds they transfer money into, plus using this unreserved fund balance strategically, what are the main advantages for the city and its residents?
Well, there are several key benefits highlighted. First, it gives them significant financial flexibility. They can tackle capital needs or seize opportunities without immediately having to raise taxes or borrow more money.
Mm-hmm.
Second, it leads to greater budget stability. By proactively saving for future projects, long-term financial planning becomes more predictable, less reliance on debt.
Right.
And ultimately, it's framed as responsible community investment. They're strategically allocating resources to improve infrastructure, get needed equipment, which enhances public services and contributes to the city's long-term health and development.
We've spent a lot of time on the general fund, clearly the city's core, but the documents also touched briefly on water and sewer rates, something residents pay directly. What are the main factors driving those rates in Big Lake?
That's right, a separate issue, but important for residents. The overview points to two major past infrastructure investments. the municipal water treatment facility built back in 2006.
Okay.
And the wastewater treatment facility built in 2011. These were big projects. $9 million for water, $15.5 million for wastewater.
$15.5 million.
Wow.
And these past projects are affecting current rates.
Absolutely. Especially the wastewater treatment facility. Its construction was largely driven by the need to meet stricter environmental standards from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, the MPCA.
Ah, regulations.
Right. These stricter standards can act like unfunded mandates, putting new financial burdens on cities. Plus, the city has to pay back the money borrowed for these facilities, the debt service.
Paying off the bonds.
Exactly. Those debt payments are a significant factor in recent rate increases because they're paid for directly by water and sewer revenues.
So while nobody likes seeing rates go up, it sounds like there's a clear reason necessary infrastructure, meeting regulations, paying off the debt incurred. Are there long-term upsides for Big Lake from making these investments?
Yes. The overview stresses a significant long-term plus. Because they invested proactively in these modern compliant facilities, they now have the capacity to handle future growth.
Room to grow.
Right. Support more homes, attract new businesses that need reliable water and sewer. This puts them in a potentially better spot than some neighboring towns that might still be dealing with older infrastructure and struggling to meet those same MPCA rules.
So, like the general fund savings, it's an investment with a long view, even if it means higher costs now.
That seems to be the parallel, yes. Investing now for long-term stability and capacity, even if it impacts current rates, it avoids bigger problems down the road.
The documents also briefly compared Big Lake's rates to neighbors. Any quick takeaway there?
The main point was just that rate structures vary a lot. Some cities have low base charges but high usage rates. Others are the opposite. So a simple comparison is tricky.
Depends on how much water you use.
Exactly. But the underlying point was Big Lake having these newer high-capacity facilities is a key differentiator for their service reliability and future potential.
Well, this has been incredibly insightful, a real deep dive into Big Lake's finances, all thanks to those detailed documents you shared. We've hit on a lot about property taxes, those strategic transfers, balanced budgets, fund balances, even the water and sewer situation.
Yeah. Hopefully this breakdown gives a much clearer picture of how the city manages its money.
Mm.
It's more than just the budget numbers. It's about the strategies and the long-term planning behind them.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up this deep dive, here's something to think about. Given Big Lake's very proactive strategic financial approach, especially consistently generating surpluses and channeling them into capital projects via these transfers, what opportunities or challenges might lie ahead for them, you know, as they keep growing, as regulations change, as the economy shifts?
That's a good question.
It seems like a constant balancing act, doesn't it? Providing today's services effectively, investing wisely for tomorrow, all while managing the tax burden on the people who live there. Definitely something to consider. Thanks for joining us for this in-depth look.